Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 19th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 160, second paragraph, starting with many of men yet dazed reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Pam M. for the 12 steps, Leslie M. for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Eileen M., and Dion R. Lois P. is our newcomer greeter, and Robin P. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, I'm sorry, guys, so the share ID for Tuesday, this January 18th, 10 a.m. meeting is 18242. That's 18,242. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting time is 18428. That's 18,428. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Pam. Pam, star one to unmute.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York, living gratefully and absently in 10, 11, and 12. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous is on page 59 in the Big Book, and it states, 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much for reading that. All right, so I'll now ask Leslie M. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Brandy. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. and that is my phone ringing in the background, sorry. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, excuse me, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. All right, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on a page 160. We're reading the second paragraph. Many of men yet dazed, reading that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Dion R. to begin reading.
Yes. Hi, good morning. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and very grateful. Many a man yet dazed from his hospital experience has stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. Many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. He succumbed to the gay crowd inside, who laughed at their own misfortunes and understood his. Impressed by those who visited him at the hospital, he capitulated entirely when later in the upper room of his house he heard the story of some man whose experience closely tallied with his own. The expression on the faces of the women that indefinably something in their eyes, something in the eyes of the men, the simulating of an electric atmosphere of the place, conspired to let him know that there was haven at last. Whew, yes, yes, yes. Ah, identification, identification. What I'm hearing out of here is it reminds me of the Welcome Home reading. That's what this paragraph reminds me. Welcome Home, when I heard that for the first time in OA, and it was even after some months of being there, I heard Welcome Home. When they read that, it's like, whatever your problem with food. And they described some things, and they said, if you have this problem, welcome home. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. And that's what I get out of reading this paragraph when it said, you know, there was something electric in the atmosphere. So, and that's how I feel when I go into an Overeaters Anonymous room especially when there's a gay crowd. I mean, a crowd of people that was happy-go-lucky, they were recovered. They could laugh at some of the things that happened to them, not out of making fun of each other, but just encouraging each other and reminding us the silly and stupidest things. Well, I'll say the insanity and saying things that I did when I was in there using food to fix me, and I'm trying to hide it. Nobody will know that I'm not that I have a food problem. 300-some pounds, only 4'11", but nobody knows that I have a food problem. You know, but regardless of what I went through, the heck I went through to get into the rooms, when I got there, I felt haven. I was like, oh, my God. And then to hear people show their pictures, tell how far they've come, and someone remind me. Sometimes we have to remind others, just for me, I guess, to carry the message in the recovery, how far I did come, you know, how far I went down to eating out of garbage cans, you know. Things of that nature. I said, you know, that I looked down on other people that did it. Yeah, so I did too. Food dropped on the floor. Picked it up real quick. Well, I got it up quick. You know, that insanity. But to come in a room to hear other people did that same thing and worse, I'm like, oh, so it's not just me. And to find out I have a disease from this book, it was a disease, and it is a disease, but it's arrested behind me, through me working the 12 steps. A day at a time and being present for my recovery. Thank you all for the recovery message, and continue, and I will pass with that.
Thank you, Dion. We will now open the lines for open sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Irene B.
Jody.
Mary S.
Jody E. Mary F.
Mary F.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Anyone
Teresa
else?
Teresa C.
Teresa C.
Did you hear Irene B?
I did, yeah.
Awesome, thank you.
I'll tell you, I have Irene B, Jody E, Mary S, and Teresa C. Anyone
Danielle
else want
W?
To look? Say that again?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Linda B.
Linda B. Okay, well, let's start with that lineup. So I have Irene B, Jody E, Mary S, Teresa C, Danielle W, and Linda B. Good morning, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B, a gratefully recovered bulimic from Louisiana. You know, this paragraph, I would have dismissed it if I would have read it when I was in the grips of bulimia, because the possibility of recovery was utterly and completely impossible. So I would have felt left out and sad that this experience was not for me. But here are all these people who had recovered from a seemingly impossible disease to recover from. And that was my eating disorder, my compulsive overeating, the binging and purging. And what I love, that I get an imagery from reading that paragraph, the look in the wife's faces. And the man's faces, it's like the wife's coming from the place of, oh, my God, there is hope. I don't have to live with this monster. And the look in the man's faces from, I don't have to continue in this compulsion, that I cannot help myself. There is hope. You know, what I see in this paragraph is so much yearning complete yearning for release, to be relieved from the pain of our addiction, of my addiction. The pain of my addiction was unbearable. And if I would have heard that a group of women had recovered and were doing okay and were not driven by the compulsion, the obsession, oh, it would have been like a magic trick, better than a magic trick. And today we have 400 people on the line, and all these people who have recovered years later, many, many years later, people are still recovering, and there is hope. And I'm so grateful to Vision. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm grateful to Vision because when I went to the rooms, I didn't necessarily see a whole lot of recovery, but when I see recovered people, it gives me hope. And to all the newcomers, there is hope, because if this bulimic could recover, oh my God, anybody can recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene. All right, next up I have Jody E., followed by Mary S. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. And this chapter reminds me of how I felt when I first came to OA in 1988. I knew I was home. There was no question about that. I knew I was where I was supposed to be. But there was something missing in the meetings that I was attending. This joy was missing. There was no joy. I used to go to AA meetings to experience the joy, because that's what boosted my faith in God and in the higher and in the program. My meetings locally were not into entire abstinence. That was not something that was embraced. And it took many years until I found a vision for you. Well, I guess I did find it in other sister groups of OA, the many offshoots of OA that formed over the years. I did find abstinence in those groups, but I didn't find what I have found here in a vision for you. We have entire abstinence, yes, hallelujah, which gives us the freedom from the addiction, but we also have the working of the 12 steps according to the big book, which is the true solution. So we have the solution here, and I too am so very grateful for this meeting, that in which I hear the joy, in which I hear the recovery, the freedom, and I get to participate in this ongoing stream of recovery through sponsoring and being sponsored. And it is a gift, a tremendous gift of life, of freedom, and of a feeling of usefulness, for which I am just incredibly grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody. All right, next up I have Mary S., followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Mary. Mary, star one to unmute.
Hi, it's Mary, compulsive overeater from Florida. Welcome home. You know, the poor guy is dazed from his hospital experience. Yes, he's been dried out. You know, he's put down his drug of choice for a couple days, but now what? Now what? And this gracious couple that opened their home to newly recovering people was the doorway that he walked through. And he could find an answer. where do I go from here now that I'm dry? Where do I go? How do I live? You know, vulnerable, scared. And he entered, and the crowd was gay and happy, and they were laughing at their own misfortunes. You know, he had heard what the people at the hospital had said to him. And then he capitulated entirely in the upper room of the house when he identification. The expression of the faces of the women show that they're, oh my God, there is an answer for my husband, my boyfriend, my brother, my son. And then when he says the indefinable something in the eyes of the men, to me, that is the connection to the higher power, the spirituality. That's what he's seeing. There's that God spark coming through them, a serenity, a peace, a happiness, a fulfilled life without the alcohol or the drug or the food. He knew he was at a safe haven at last. And like others, he had hope. And he also was given some answers on how to move forward after his experience in the hospital. I feel that that is pivotal in here, that he's dazed from his hospital experience. And the graciousness of this couple that opened their home to have people come and go and hold on to that read of hope that, yes, I too can recover. And with this, that, I'd like to pass. Thank you.
Thank you for your share. All right. Next up, I have Teresa C., followed by Danielle W. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. This is Teresa C., compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery for today, from New Jersey. What I wanted to speak to was that stimulating an electric atmosphere just reminded me of a while back. I was in another state, and where I'm from, we don't have clubs, but this state had clubs. And so, you know, I looked up where there was an OA meeting, and I pulled up, and for those of you that don't know about clubs, it's a place where they have all different 12-step programs, meetings going on at the same time in one location. And I pulled up, and as soon as I pulled up, I saw, like, there were, like, 100 people outside just in camaraderie. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, this is it. And I felt just what it says here, that stimulating an electric atmosphere. A feeling very much at home and at ease and just so happy to be there. And that's a moment I won't forget. So I just wanted to share that with people, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you. All right, Danielle W., I have you up next, and then Linda B. Good morning, Danielle. Danielle, star one to unmute.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning, Danielle.
I'm so sorry. I went to hit star one and I hung up on myself. Apologies. Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time. You know, I say this about every paragraph. I love this paragraph, but I do. The line that really speaks to me this morning, many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. And I think about the minutes and days and years of my life that I searched for an answer. I couldn't understand why. No matter what I tried, no matter what I did, I just could not overcome the disease. And that's what there's many gifts of this program, but what OA did for me is it gave me an answer. And it keeps giving me answers that, you know, first I the answer was, you're sick, you have a disease. It's not just a matter of discipline or finding the right diet or being motivated. So it gave me that answer. And then it gave me the steps, the answer to finding recovery, to having a relationship with my higher power. And the beauty is that every morning as I go through life, and life is challenging, it will continue to be challenging, I listen to my fellows and I get answers and I learn how to live one day at a time, you know, and I get to do it having fun. I never thought that I could laugh about my compulsive overeating. Well, there was nothing funny about that. And yet I come, it's like I get to come to this party every morning. I get to be with all of you. And I get to laugh at the craziness of my life and where my disease took me. And then I get to see hope and I get to see recovery. And as they say, you know, have stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. And that's what this program has done for me. Thank you and have a beautiful morning.
Thank you. All right. So next up, I have Linda B. But before Linda shares, I'm just going to tell everyone where we're at in case you're joining us late. So we're on page 160, many a man yet dazed. And we read through that one paragraph and we're sharing on that. So after Linda, I'll take more names. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Brandy. Hi, everyone. I'm Linda B. from Compulsive Overeater from Ontario, Canada. Reading this paragraph this morning, I decided to look up the definition of capitulate, and it says it ceases to resist an opponent or an unwelcome demand and surrender. That describes my eating history. I felt like I was at war with food. And we were in this constant struggle, and it was my opponent, and it was an unwelcome demand. You know, it's just like this food is demanding, and it never shuts up, and on and on it goes. And then when it talks about the surrender, and it says here later in an upper room, he heard the story, and his experience closely tallied with his own. And, you know, it's how we spread the message. It's not a list of, it's not a graph on the success rate. It's not a percentage rate. It's not a spreadsheet. It's not a worksheet. It's, you know, it's not all this scientific evidence and statistics and whatnot. All we do is we relate and we tally what we hear from other people's stories of their journey, and it's what we can identify with and relate to that gets us to surrender to this program, and we just cease fighting life and food and everything. We just totally surrender. So those two words really, when I looked closely at them, really rung true with me. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you only share every third day so that others will have an opportunity to share. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lauren Grace B.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Lauren Grace B.
Lauren Grace.
Eileen
okay.
M.
Mary Lou A.
Mary Lou?
Mary Lou A, yes.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Lots of time, lots of opportunity. You're new. All right. So we'll just go with those for now, and I'll take more names following these. So I have Lauren Grace D., I have Eileen M., and I have Mary Lou A. Good morning, Lorraine Grace.
Good morning. This is Lauren Grace B., and I'm from New Jersey. Two lines stuck out to me. The first was that he stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom, and he went from the hospital into a house. And it just makes me think of boundaries. There's a quote I like that says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It's, you know, we're looking for freedom from this disease, but the freedom that we find is the freedom not to eat compulsively and the freedom to do God's will. It's not freedom from any boundaries or controls. It's freedom to do the right thing. And that's what I have found when I try to live without the boundaries of abstinence and the boundaries of the steps. It's really not freedom at all. It throws me back into my disease, and I become a slave to the disease. There's no freedom. And the other thing that struck me was that here was haven at last. I've been in OA for a long time. I've had long periods of abstinence followed by relapses, but I'm very blessed to have found a vision for you. I'm going through for the first time with a sponsor through the big book, Working the Steps in that way. And I'm glad and I'm hopeful that by God's grace that I have found haven at last. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, Eileen M., you're up. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I'm looking at this sentence. It says, he succumbed to that gay crowd inside who laughed at their own misfortunes. Wow, you know, I could not see any humor in my life at all. And laughter was definitely missing. You know, I couldn't see anything humorous. And I remember being at one of my first OA meetings, you know, years and years ago, and I was actually sharing. It was a face-to-face meeting, and I was sharing, and people started laughing, and I didn't know why they were laughing. I thought they were laughing at me. So I asked somebody after the meeting, I said, hey, you know, what happened, you know? And this lady said to me, we are not laughing at you. We are laughing with you because we identify with your story. And, you know, from then on, it's almost like I rediscovered laughter in the rooms. You know, and I could laugh at myself. And that was a huge, huge turnaround for me, was to be able to laugh at myself. You know, I was a glum lot. I definitely was. And the other thing I wanted to comment on was, you know, walking into the meeting, it's like, you know, I got a sense of belonging that I had never had and always wanted, but I didn't know how to get it. You know, I didn't really know how to have friends. I thought, you know, I used to ask people in OA, like, how do you have friends? You know, like, what do? You know, and I'm so grateful. I, you know, not only have had the food obsession removed, but I've grown so much because my relationships are so much better. And that's what I want to share. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen. All right, next up I have Mary Lou A. Good morning, Mary Lou.
Good morning. My name is Mary Lou A. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor. I'm very grateful for this meeting. The sentence that really struck me is the story of some men whose experience closely tallied with his own. To hear another story and to identify as I came into these rooms just meant so much to me and really opened me up. Because when I identify with another person's story, it's a connection and an opening. My heart opens, my mind opens, and I think it opens me also to my higher power. So hearing the stories of others and relating to them and making that connection is, for me, a very, very powerful experience, experience that breaks the wall of isolation, the wall of mistrust, all those walls that throughout my life I have put up and hid behind and ate And then starved, and then ate, and then starved. So I really am very grateful for vision, because I think if I were reading this myself, I would have just read it and gone over the paragraph and gone on. But to take one paragraph at a time and to look at the words, so much comes through. And listening to other stories and their journeys is just inspirational and is a real doorway for me to accept others, accept myself, and to feel the presence of my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up, I don't have anyone, so I'm going to open up the line. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, let me know if you want to share.
Hi, it's Laura W.
Deb E.
Laura W, Deb E. Anyone else?
Terry KB.
Terry KB.
Elaine B.
Babylonia A.
Did you say Babylonia?
Babylonia.
Babylonia. Okay, I'm going to stop there, and hopefully we'll get everyone in. All right, Laura W., you're up next, followed by W.E. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, this is a great paragraph. This is like, there's promises in this paragraph. It reminds us that, you know, many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. They didn't just come away sober. They came away with an answer to the problem in their life. He said, come to that gay crowd inside. I love the camaraderie that it talks about. You know, in our literature, it says, together we can do what we could never do alone. And, you know, I put my hand in yours. And if I were just walking this path by myself, I would not have, you know, I might get abstinence, but I won't have the freedom, the camaraderie, and the fellowship, which is so important, because I cannot do this alone. This is, you know, yes, willingness is an inside job, but recovery is a group effort, I believe. You know, it talks about haven, and a haven is a place of safety and refuge, and it's just the opposite of living in the disease. The disease is a very dangerous place for me to be. So, again, the promises, it talks about being home, you know. I am home when I am in these rooms. I'm home when I speak with another compulsive eater, and they can identify with me, and I can identify with them. You know, this whole paragraph reminds me of the happiness and the joy of recovery. You know, the problems that we once had in our lives can be removed one day at a time with connection with a higher power and work of the 12 steps. It sounds so simple. When you're in the disease, it's not. You know, when I was in the disease, it just sounded so far-fetched and so far away. But just that one step over that threshold can, you know, can get me to the other side. And that's what happened with me one day at a time over 17 years ago. And regardless of outside circumstances in my life, I've got to do this every day. I've got to do this and show up, suit up and show up. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to do so. It's not a chore to do it. It's something I get to do, and it's who I am today, not just what I do. So I thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Next up, I have Deb E., followed by Sherry Kitty. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The first sentence, many a man yet dazed from his hospital experience, makes me think of that look, that like kind of glazed over look in the eyes of the still practicing compulsive overeater, that like detached look. It's a look that I have ingrained in my memory of the most memorable binge that I remember. The binge itself is not memorable, but I caught my reflection in the mirror after, and I remember that look so well of just like like I was just vacant. My eyes were just completely vacant. There was no depth there. There was no light there. And I've noticed over the years, I've seen people come in to the rooms with that same look in their eyes, and then to watch that look get transformed and to watch them like kind of awaken and the light to just shine through them as their, you know, spiritual experience is happening and as they're being awakened to it is really something remarkable to see. And this part, he succumbed to that gay crowd inside, makes me remember how seriously I took myself before OA. Like, everything was just way too serious. I was very obsessive, very serious about like every calorie I ate and counting everything. And not a lot of things were funny, you know, like I laughed so much more today than I ever did before. And the expression on the faces of the women, an indefinable something in the eyes, then that for me, what I hear in that is makes me think of the first meeting I attended, and I just talked about the food, and everybody around the table just nodded and they all understood, and I couldn't believe that other people understood me. And the camaraderie that comes from that and the identifying in that comes with that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Next up, I have Sherry KB. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Brandy. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Brandy, and everybody on the line and Team Wednesday. You know, this is a great paragraph. You know, it talks about the threshold of home to freedom. I mean, wow, what a statement, right? And for me, that's what this is about. It's a home to have freedom. And just, you know, I just want to say, have a shout out to Roseanne S. Today, Roseanne S. in 1960, on January 19th, 1960, founded OA. And without that, none of us would be here. Thank you, Roseanne. I'm very grateful to Bill B., but without Roseanne, I wouldn't be here. And I'm just so grateful for that, and I'm so grateful for A Vision for You, because that's a safe haven for me. It talks about having a haven, and for me, it is a safe haven where I can come and relate, and I can, you know, succumb again and again to my disease and continue to I just got struck by all this and, you know, catapulted into a fourth dimension of existence and how stimulating and electrifying it is. And just to have this haven, to have people that understand me, because I've had friends in other 12-step programs that they would ask me about my disease, and I'd tell them, and they'd look at me like Bambi in headlights. And, you know, there's nothing like feeling like home when people understand you. And, you know, this is not an easy disease to talk about. And I also believe that, you know, they say there's a saying in AA that, you know, don't take yourself too seriously and take the disease seriously. And in OA, we need to take our disease more seriously and not take ourselves so seriously. And that's why I do love hearing the laughter and the fun and the poking at, you know, that I can poke at myself. I won't poke at you, but I will definitely poke at myself about things. And I'm just grateful for my higher power, and I'm just so grateful, just overwhelming gratitude for Roseanne S. today, because if without her, we would not be here. And of course, to my higher power. And I feel like I want to cry. Just feel so grateful for all of you and for this group. And I've been on it a long time, and I'm just so grateful that you're here, that I can be on with all of you. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. All right, next up is Elaine B. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line. Oh, so grateful. So grateful that this meeting is here. You know, it is sort of like coming in to a place where people who are admitting their misfortunes, never mind bandaging or covering them up or trying to hide them, but actually being able to be in harmonious union with each other because of this. Who'd have thought that, you know, food addiction would be a place where I bonded with people that would become lifelong friends, with people that I could be more open and honest and intimate with, starting from, you know, learning to do my four-step work and just see my fault and admit my fault and recognize that, oh my gosh, I'm not the only person on the planet who did this. I'm not the only person on the planet who thought Ben and Jerry were the solution. I'm not the only person on the planet whose pantyhose had, you know, were completely demolished between my thighs by the end of the day, or that sat in an airplane and couldn't fit the belt around me. Help, extender, please. And just all of those different situations that are just so hard to admit to ourselves or to another human being. But here we are, you know, there's camaraderie around it. And, you know, hearing the story of someone whose experience closely tallied with their own, boy, oh boy, you know, it is so helpful to hear, because it's like, oh my gosh, this is where I am today. What they're talking about, what they were like before, but I never would have known that by looking at them. I never would have known that by listening to them, because they have more of the story than stuck here, can't get out, nothing's working. No, there's hope and there's promise. Oh my gosh. I remember my very first OA meeting, I wasn't ready to hear. They were reading the Brown Book, and what I heard was, wah, 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 no flour, wah, 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 no sugar, wah, 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 and that's all I got. That's all I got out of the meeting. So I'm like, well, let me try that, and yeah, oh, I didn't eat sugar for a month, so I got this. I'm good. Not. And so I'm so grateful for, after trying to get through the steps for many years, because I knew the solution was in there, finally having an awful relapse and somebody giving the number for A Vision for You. And on my first meeting, it was about, they call this plain insanity. And I heard somebody who is insane with food like I am. And the next meeting, I heard somebody say, we used to get our ease and comfort from food. Now we get our ease and comfort from God. But not only that, we have a community we can do it with, laughing or crying, just being real. And I'm so grateful to be here with you. And I pass.
Thank you. All right. Babylona A, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. I have been abstinent now for 36 days since I joined A Vision for You, and I'm very grateful for that. But I noticed today that my disease kind of reared its ugly head again and tried to get me obsessed with weight loss. Even though I'm at a healthy weight, but I was like, if I just lost 5 more pounds, I'd be happy with my body. And just thinking about it makes me obsessive and like, want to compulsively over-exercise and restrict my food. And it's just making my mind an unhappy place. And I was so happy and high on life before, but it just like, just all of a sudden happened. So I'm going to get my mind off of it and do service and connect with God, and not going to focus on weight loss because that drives me to insanity and it might cause me to relapse from the stress of trying to becoming obsessed with it. So that's all. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right. So that will conclude our meeting. And so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Can I read M, please read A Vision for You?
This is Eileen M, gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.